thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here and to see and to hear some of the things that are going on. And I want you to know that I'm excited. I'm excited about the possibilities, of course, and also to come and to spend time with the students. You know, I want you to do me a favor by giving these students a big round of applause. And we applaud them because they're only 25% of the population, but they're 100% of our future. And we should never, never forget that. I also want to thank the presidents and, of course, many of the faculty members and even some students have been talking to us about this legislation I'm going to speak to for about 2-3 minutes here. I want to thank you for your coming and your ideas and your suggestions around this issue. Let me begin by thanking you for the magnificent job that you're doing on behalf of all of our young people. I know that technology advancement is very, very important to our historically black colleges and universities. In order to make certain that your students are adequately prepared for the 21st century, I have been working on this legislation for some time now, and I'm happy to report that our bill is finally gaining steam, moving forward. Many of our colleagues in the Congress are now beginning to sign on and realize that how important this piece of legislation is and how much it means to our HBCU community. This bill is too important to ignore, and I'm pounding the pavement to push it forward. Now, a lot of our colleagues have not gotten on board yet, but I'm encouraged because, you know, there's a thing called individual differences. You know, Dr. Allison, some people learn faster than others, you know, but that doesn't mean they can't learn. My son says so well. He said, Dad, sometimes it takes some people 2.5 hours to watch 60 minutes. They don't mean they can't watch it, just take them a little longer. So we have some members in Congress that fall into that category, and then sometimes it takes a little time to explain to them what's going on, and an explanation, you know, is very, very important. I learned that at the age of 17 when I was working in a copper rendering plant in Niagara Falls, New York. I learned that how you explain things makes a difference in terms of how people respond. That a man there by the name of Brooks, and they were moving to a new insurance plan, and everybody had to sign up for them to move forward. And everybody signed up with this one man, Mr. Brooks. The supervisor came by and said, Brooks, sign up. He said, no, I'm not going to sign up. Of course, the foreman took him to lunch and spent an hour with him, telling him how important it was to sign. He said, not going to do it. They came back from lunch, and of course, they went to the general manager and said, Brooks is just flat and refused to sign. I said, bring Brooks to me. Let me explain it to him. So brought Brooks into the general manager's office. He said, Brooks, if you don't sign up, you're fired. So Brooks pulled out his pen and signed. The foreman looked up and said, I don't understand it. I asked you to sign and you wouldn't. I took you to lunch and you wouldn't sign. The supervisor says, I've been begging you for weeks to sign, you wouldn't sign. He said, nobody never explained to me like that. If you don't sign, you're fired. So the way you explain things is important. With the help of Congressman Randy Forbes and Senator George Allen, both from Virginia, we are spreading the word about the Minority Serving Institutions Digital and Wireless Technology Opportunity Act of 2005, otherwise known as H.R. 921. On February 17th of this year, Senator Allen and Congressman Forbes and I held a press conference to announce the introduction of H.R. 921 in the House. Our bill seeks to employ the use of broadband wireless network whose point of presence is located at the HBCUs and provides wireless connectivity for authorized users within a 4-mile radius of a given campus. HBCU faculties, researchers, and students will be able to engage in programmatic activities with representatives from local churches, schools, and other community organizations. It is our goal to provide each participating student with a laptop computer and a personal team of mentors consisting of HBCU faculty, church, and public school officials. Think of the potential our students could utilize face-to-face virtual meetings that could lead to frequent mentoring sessions on a scheduled or as-needed basis between the youth and their mentors. Our students have the potential to provide the nation's workforce with the competitive edge needed to support a technological competitive society in the years to come. I believe they deserve the support of teachers and mentors in a comprehensive special program designed to meet their unique education and cultural needs. I see this as an opportunity to effect fundamental change to create sustainable employment opportunities for many youth who are low-income residents. We need this legislation, according to a February 26, 2004 report by the Alliance for Equity in Higher Education. Less than half of minority serving institutions students own computers. Further, 88% of HBCUs have only the minimum standard of connectivity, indicating that many HBCUs are not taking advantage of the high-speed connections available in their communities. H.R. 921 would establish a new program that would provide up to $250 million per year for 5 years to strengthen the ability of HBCUs to purchase digital and wireless network technologies and infrastructure equipment for campus-wide equipment upgrades, hardware, and software. Additionally, it will develop and provide technology education services, including faculty and teacher education. It will also provide technical assistance through workshops, distance learning, and other technology applications. Lastly, our bill will foster the use of information communication technology to increase engineering, math, and science research. Our bill is discharged from the House Science Committee, and Chairman Bullock has jurisdiction. His next move will be to the Education Committee. That's where we will need your help. We would like for you to call, to write, to do everything you can to let the people on the Education Committee know that you want H.R. 921 to become law. That is the first step. We need your help. And working together, I think that we can make this a reality. And let me close by saying simply this, that we must work together in order to make certain that our young people are prepared to go into the workforce. And at the end of this story, your boy was walking across the field one day, and he fell in a deep hole. As he cried out for help, the first man that came by, I understand he was the president of the university. He had a rope, but the rope was too short to reach the little boy. The little boy continued to cry out, and the second person came by. I understand that he was from the community, but the rope he had was too short to reach the little boy. And finally, the boy kept crying out. The third person came by. I understand he was a politician. He was on the Education Committee, of course, and he had a rope, but the rope was too short to reach the little boy. And finally, the boy looked up and said to them, look, tie your ropes together. Tie your ropes together. Tie your ropes together.
Thank you, Representative Towns. Wonderful, wonderful way to start. Remember we said we're going to get recommendations. This is not going to end today or on Sunday. We're going to get recommendations to follow through. And each and every one of you should have written down H.R. 921 and what you're going to do to help get to the Education Committee.